Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case, and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender things
that we were working on. Hey, this is your producer, Duff. What you're about to listen to is filled with witty rants and dry humor. While our show can be very entertaining, we feel we must caution the close-minded among us. There's foul, dirty fits of geeked-out rage and all-around bad attitudes ahead. Can't say we didn't warn you. So, keep your hands away from your private parts and your ears engaged at all times. This is Prime. Hello and welcome to Prime on the Rogantel Podcast Network. You can subscribe, stream us live at rogantel.com/live, or you can even call us at 410-989-1734, and we'll put you on the air. And if you're a dick, we'll hang up on you on the air.
But we'll laugh at you first.
Yes, we will. I'm your producer, Duff. Who you heard in the background was Carrie, and we've also got, as always, TJ in the house.
What's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
I'm going to defer to my
better half.
Better half on this one, because me, I've had a week from hell, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So let's not talk about the negative. Let's talk about the positive. Carrie, how have you been?
I'm good. I still am having an issue with that disclaimer. I feel it's only there because I'm on the show.
I don't know
about
that.
It seems like it's all because of my dry sense of humor and my foul mouth and my rage.
I don't know. I think we would curse more if you weren't on, but that's not to say that it's for you. It's for us as a trio. And tonight we're actually more than just a trio. We've got a returning guest on tonight's show, Aaron Linkus from the band Everything Falls, fresh off their tour. What's up?
Hey, how are you doing? We're great. Doing great. Happy to be here, man.
Well, likewise. Last time we talked to you, you were about 2 weeks out from releasing your new EP, and right. And that was a really good release. It did really well from what I saw. You guys got a lot of great feedback from that, and you guys are actually in the middle of a tour right now, so tell us about that.
We are. We've played quite a bit this year. It's a little tough to go back through every single date, but we started off the year with three show dates back to back to back. So it was like, I think it was like the 7th, 9th, and 11th. Like we played Mercury Lounge was the first show, and then we played Stone Pony in Asbury Park, where we opened up for Hinder, Shaman's Harvest, I forget the other, Revolve, and Within Reason. So that was
you
a
played
really,
with Within
really cool
Reason.
Show.
Nice.
We did. It was an awesome show. And we you know, being an opening act, like we didn't expect to have like a packed house for us, but apparently people did their homework and they knew our music. And when we actually walked outside, I think my lead guitar player walked out the door just to throw something in his car real quick. And it was kind of the side door. And he walked out and he was like, dude, there's like a line around the block. So that was a cool experience, and I think we all enjoyed it. But yeah, we played quite a few shows. We've got one coming up actually May 12th at the Stanhope House in Stanhope, New Jersey. So we hope a lot of folks will come out and hang out with us there. It's actually Jersey Campfire's 3-year anniversary. And Jersey Campfires does like a ton of shows in the area. Michael Camp is actually the guy that runs it, and he does an amazing job. So happy to be working with him and happy to be there to support him and celebrate his 3-year anniversary. We have one more, a couple festivals that we're kind of looking at right now in August. And of course, more dates will come in throughout June and July. But that's kind of what we're looking at. We're looking at like Weekend of Wreckage in Brooklyn. So that should be fun.
Nice.
So looking forward to that. And Rock on the Rise is another one that we're kind of waiting to get a few more details on. But
that's in Maryland, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It is. It is. It's in, what did I say, St. Mary's County. So it's, you know, Southern Maryland, but it's going to be an amazing, amazing festival. Some friends of mine, are actually trying to put it together, and it's four bands like us that are on the rise, and there should be one huge headliner, and we're excited about it. I'm looking forward to that one. You know, that's really going to be a cool show and get to hang out with some old friends again. So be good times.
Very cool. St. Mary's County is not close to us. It's the other side of Maryland. It's about, mm-hmm. I'd say, an hour and a half to 2 hour drive from where we live. But if you come, we will come too. And that's not an innuendo for some kind of swingers party.
We would love to have you there. Please don't, you know, the whole coming thing.
I promise, you know. No secretions.
I mean, if the music gets you to that point, then by all means, I mean, you know, it just happens. What happens, happens. You know, you can't control your body like that. But yeah, man, it would be a wonderful time. I'm so looking forward to it. You know, everything Fall started in Maryland, of course, as you know. And Carrie knows, being the number one fan of Everything Falls. And,
yes, sir.
And it's going to be a great time. So we're looking forward to a lot of that and just whatever else can roll in. You know, we've been doing a lot of interviews here lately. So that's been a really cool thing.
Yeah, but who got to do the world premiere of not two, but three singles off the new album?
Yes, you did.
Yes, we did. Yes, you did.
Rogue Intel definitely got to be the first. So
well, we appreciate that.
Well, we were very appreciative to have had that opportunity as well. But yeah, man, it's been great. We're just trying to stay busy. I mean, that's literally like what every band tries to do. We try to stay as busy as possible and continue to prove that we are a real band. And we don't just sit in our basement and make up music and then never actually play shows or really exist in the real world. We work hard and we try to prove that we work hard. So that's kind of what we've been up to.
And I do have one bone to pick with you, Mr. Aaron.
Uh-oh. You're in trouble.
I hear it.
Your music causes me to drive with a heavier foot and a little more aggression. And you need to, like, tone it back a little bit on the next EP, because I'm going to end up with a ticket or an accident, dude.
That's awesome. I mean, I don't want you to get a ticket, but maybe if you turn it up and play it for the cop will be like, okay, I understand. He'd be like, I get this. What is the name of the band? And you can, you know, Everything Falls. And like, okay, I forgive you. Just, that's funny. But, yeah, definitely. I have heard that from a lot of people. The EP is definitely a cruising album, if yes. you will. Like you just want to, put it in the CD player and just drive. And I like that. So that's a huge compliment. So.
It really doesn't matter. New EP, old, doesn't matter. It's like, as soon as I hear, it's like, oh, turn it up and go a little faster. It's like, all right, nice. Here we go.
Nice, good. And you know, too, like, that's not just, I guess I didn't really specifically think about people driving in their car, but the main premise behind making the music the way I made it was for live shows. When people come to our live show, I want them to, like, really feel the music, and I want them to have a good time. I feel like, to a degree, not enough people get to have that experience at some rock shows. You know, it's more like just mosh pit type stuff. I want people to, I don't know, I'm a different type of rocker. I don't know. I love to, like you said, put in a CD and just be able to cruise to it, as opposed to, like, thrash in my car seat and look like I've got some kind of problem or I'm on some kind of drugs or something.
Well, we're talking about the CD and we're talking about your music as a whole. You guys just released a music video not too long ago. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It was for the song "Daylight Takes the Dawn." "Daylight Takes the Dawn," I wrote back in 2012, and we actually played it when we were in Maryland. You guys have heard it live more than once.
Yeah, it was really an early form, but it was mm-hmm. still an amazing song.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was always kind of like our show closer. And I guess that was kind of the phase where I was still like working through it. I knew it was definitely going to be on the new EP. I just didn't know when the new EP was going to come out. And, you know, of course, when this EP did eventually come out, I knew this had to be like a definite single, definite video. So we got together with DeSales University, which was kind of, we were turned on to by a friend that helps the band quite a bit. We were turned on to it. We talked to DeSales University, actually talked to the professor that's in charge of that entire department for the TV and film. We worked with them closely. They sent out like a whole team of people. I mean, they were on the ball. Like, we've worked with a lot of different video production people, but when they showed up, it was like every shot that they took, they had somebody sitting there just literally writing down, like, okay, good shot. What did you think about it? What was the lighting like? What happened on this one? Keeper or no keeper? Okay, I think it's a keeper. All right, I'll mark it down. And that, I'm assuming, really helped them when it came to the editing process. The storyline for Daylight Takes the Dawn is very, I guess, straightforward. You know, it's all about being on the road as a musician, being away from home. Even if you're not like a musician, I guess you could think of like a truck driver or somebody that's even in the army or whatever it may be. That was kind of the premise we went with, and I didn't want to go too far away from that premise. I felt like it was perfect the way it was. So with the song, you know, storyline, it was pretty easy. Like, we sat down and we went through a couple different ideas as to what we could and couldn't do. You know, of course, budget is always a part of that. And so we tried to just keep it simple. I felt very strongly that my wife needed to be in it, and there needed to be snow somewhere in the video. And I finally got my wish. Obviously, Mandy was in the video, which was an amazing, amazing thing. She did a wonderful job. So proud of her. She was very nervous about it. It was her first time actually acting, and she did amazing. But the snow wasn't there until the very end when we did our last shot. We finally had a little bit of snow that fell. I think it was like 6 inches or something it fell. And the people showed up the next day. We shot the scenes in the house. And I kept telling the producer, he was like, are you sure we really need this scene? I was like, dude, I want the snow in the shot. So the shot where I'm walking out of the door with the guitar in my right hand, I fought very hard for that shot, and I think it helps to sell the video and sell the coldness, if you will. You know, when I talk about, you know, a winter breeze and stuff like that, that's why we needed the snow. And I love the video. I honestly feel like it's Everything Falls' best video to date. So
yeah, I was very, very, very happy to see that you didn't hire a female actor and a male actor to play the roles. It was mm-hmm. actually you and your wife. And we've known your family for years and years. And yeah. I had a smile on my face when I saw Mandy on the screen, because she's been on the screen before, I believe, at the ending of your last video.
Yes, yes, that was
a quick one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And maybe it was a little bit of an introduction, and you know, maybe that's kind of what really popped this in my head. You know, I knew, like I said, from the beginning when I wrote the song, I knew it was about me and Mandy and what, you know, I would personally go through if I ever had to go on like a long tour or something. And I wanted to follow through with it, and I wanted to make it real, and I knew that by putting Mandy in it, or at least I felt that a lot of people would really connect with it and they would get the storyline, and people did. They truly saw it, and it's probably been our best response so far for any video that we've done.
Great.
Just because it has that real world feel to it. So I was very proud of that one, and so was Mandy. So
yeah. Well, what do you say we play the song?
Yeah, do it.
All right, this Let's is Daylight it. Takes the Dawn off the new EP from Everything Falls. And hopefully you enjoy.
It's hard to remember such a long year, yet I still push further despite my fears. And I wonder where you are, and if you're thinking of me, to still feel your love, 'cause it's burning me, and I'm sorry for leaving, but I won't stay long. I know it's hard to love a man that's turned your heart to stone.
Back on Prime. Aaron, that song is amazing. Mama B in the chat room says, I absolutely love the song. Aaron, makes me proud of you. Such talent.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's what we love to hear. That's why we do it. So, you know, so people, we move people. That's the whole point of view.
Yes. So talk about the lyrics for that song a little bit, and tell us about what, for anyone who can't actually read between the lines, talk about what that song means to you and why you wrote it.
You know, like I was saying earlier, for me personally, I think I wrote that song. I did write that song in Nashville.
I think you wrote that song.
I was trying to remember when I actually wrote it, and it was in Nashville, probably around 2007, 2008, when I actually started writing it. It actually came to fruition. We actually started playing it in 2012, and then it moved into what it is currently. But the lyrics for that was, I guess for me, it was dreaming about the day when I'm going to actually be a rock star and probably have to hit the road, and knowing how much I love my wife and how much I love being with her and miss her like crazy, even when we're apart for even a moment, that was pretty much what it was about, and how all the struggles that we would have to go through, and all the memories that I would miss, and all the things that I would have to just not be there for, and that's kind of that is the song. That's the whole song, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, you can definitely see right through those lyrics. Me, on a personal level, I have a hard time listening to lyrics because I'm so much of a music person. I'm analyzing the drums and analyzing the guitar and bass, and you know, and even the vocals. I see those as a musical instrument as well. So
absolutely.
I hear it as tonals. I don't usually hear it as actual lyrics, and which is why I can't remember lyrics to save my life. But with certain bands out there, and you're definitely one of them, the lyrics just shine, and that's got to go to show something.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, like when I first started writing songs, you know, I guess when I was like 12, you know, I was writing gibberish on paper, but somewhere in between there, I really learned, you know, from some of the songwriters that I liked, that I love stories, and I feel like there's not enough of that per se in rock. You know, I grew up on country, and I say that all the time. I say it in every interview I probably have, that I grew up on country, and that's why I probably love stories so much. And I make sure that every song that I write has a story to it, and that it's very easy for people to get. And I spent years trying to figure out how do you truly get a story across without blowing somebody's mind or taking it to a point where they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. and you know, I guess to a degree, I've gotten better at my craft, and you know, I took a lot of classes at MTSU. I took two songwriting classes at MTSU, where, you know, I went to college, and you know, that's just part of my style. I like the cinematic style too. You know, I feel like everything needs to be a story. It needs to have that cinematic feel to it. Otherwise, it's not going to capture an audience. Like, how are they going to relate to it? So
it's so funny that you're mentioning the country thing. So I'm on the other end of the spectrum with you guys, where I'm, you know, Duff's the fangirl, and I'm kind of the newbie to you guys, but I love it. But I'm trying to, you know, whenever I hear any new music, and that's one of the awesome things about, you know, doing this show over the past few weeks, you know, being relatively new to the show too, is that, you know, Duff's introduced me to some awesome bands. You guys are obviously one of them, and some really cool experiences there. But I was trying to figure out, all right, it's rock, but he's got that country to his voice, and I could, and it's funny that you said country's like a big influence for you guys. But like, who would you compare yourself to? I know you mentioned Hinder earlier. I would maybe put you with that, but I don't know. You got a little more fun vibe to you than Hinder. I don't know.
We've been compared to like a ton of different bands, which still makes me think like that makes me happy, because nobody can pinpoint exactly who we are. Mm-hmm. But we've been compared to Three Doors Down, obviously. I've heard 3 Days Grace. I've heard Metallica.
No.
I've heard. Oh yeah,
Metallica.
With Sorry to Say, yeah. People were like hardcore. It's Metallica. I've even heard Pearl Jam. I've heard Stone Temple Pilots.
What about My Voice Theory of a Dead Man?
I thought Pearl Jam for a minute too, yeah.
Yeah. Theory of a Dead Man, yeah. Yeah. I got compared to Disturbed's Draymond. Like, I got compared to him a while back, and I was like, that's a first. I have never heard my voice being compared to his, but okay.
No. Yeah. I thought Creed at first, but I didn't want to be offensive and say that. But, like, but I mean, I just say Nickelback, so that's, you know.
I have we've had the Creeds and the Nickelbacks, but yeah.
No, not Nickelback. You guys are not a one-trick pony. That's actually, I mean, that's one of the cool things. At least legally, I've listened to it on your channel. Yeah, your YouTube channel. I'm not going to mention Duff's server that he gave me access to with all your songs.
It's a private like, that's server.
Server. Sorry, yeah, just to clarify. But you have the cool videos on your you know, on your website as well too, which I appreciate as a new fan. Cool. That it's like, oh, cool. You know, we get some cool music videos out of the whole thing. But you really have like a real big variety of music, so it's like you do have a little bit of the Pearl Jams, a little bit of the Creed, a little bit of the heavier, a little lighter, you know, just a touch of country in there. I think it's a really cool dynamic that you guys have, and it's cool from a listener standpoint too, because then it's whatever you're in the mood for. All right, I'll listen to this track or this song, you know.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I like it.
I love that. That's perfect. Yeah, that's a perfect analogy of kind of what I'm going for. Like when I write the songs, like I write songs like, I always tell people it's like a revolver. If you think you've got, you know, what, 8 bullets that you can put into a revolver, you know, I fill all 8 spots with songs. And as I finish one, you know, think of that as a bullet that's been fired. I put another one in and I keep it going like that. And that's really how I work. And it kind of, what are you laughing at?
Mama B in the chat room is a gun junkie and she says, 6, dear. 6 bullets.
Sorry. I knew somebody was going to say something.
You lost
Sorry,
your country. You lost your country.
I did.
That's okay, though. Man. That's okay, though, because earlier she was saying that you are so much better than STP, and that's coming from a lady who has seen STP live.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Yes. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
But I don't know my revolvers, apparently. So.
No. But we'll forgive you.
But like I said, you know, that's kind of my writing style. It does lean towards, you know, like what you hear and what you just said, TJ, like where you have a different feel, and I always try to mix things up. And for me personally, it would be very boring if I just stuck with the same thing every single time. So I definitely keep it mixed up just for my own style. And it helps for me personally, coming from country, rock, you know, whatever style it may be, having those as a background, it helps me to be able to move between the two seamlessly, and nobody can really say like, oh, you're too much country or you're too much rock. It's just like they're confused. They're like, yeah. I don't know if you're what
it's
you
like,
are.
It's like good which confused, is, you know? Like,
yeah. Which is on purpose to a degree. It's kind of like, you know, I'm covering my tracks nicely. You know, I want people to kind of be like, the one thing that I hate right now, and my wife is a huge country fan. And we go to a lot of country concerts. When you go to a country concert, you know you're going to a party. And the same could be said for rock shows, but for the most part, like rock shows they're just different. Like there's a different vibe. Like, you know, even when I go to Breaking Benjamin or whoever it may be, it's like, there's a different vibe. Like I want that party atmosphere to kind of come back into rock music. Mm-hmm. And I want people to really feel the music and to, I don't know. That's just kind of like my viewpoint on everything. But I want that feeling back. I want, you know, that used to really be there. And I felt like it was in the early 2000s, maybe late 90s. You know, I'm still rocking out 90s songs. So, you know, I try to.
That's when the rock and roll is still good. You know, like kind of what I'm thinking of, like, yeah. You know, I'm 35, like my high school years, you know, like kind of that, mm-hmm. that time mm-hmm. frame. And then it kind of got sold out to the record labels. I.e. Nickelback, you know, like kind of that route, you know, or, you know, killed on the radio that way. So, yeah. Or, it, you know, and then it had that like pussified rock music, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term. I can't think of a more eloquent term there, but that seems to work right now. You know, but at the same token, you want to be able to, if you have a teenage, you know, son or daughter, to be able to take them there without worry about them getting killed in a mosh pit. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I felt like, you know, like we reached somewhere, it was somewhere around like 2003, 2004. It's like every rock band just kind of got in their head. And I'm sorry, I'm probably bashing a lot of rock bands right now and they're all going to hate me. But it felt like every rock band got in their head that they all wanted to go like hard as crazy. You know, like they wanted the music and they thought they were doing something like that was truly different, but then you look back at it, it's like, okay, everybody was doing the same thing at once. So like the whole music kind of shifted. It went away from, like, you know, some of the Hinders and some of the Nickelbacks and Three Doors Down, which I love every mm-hmm. song that they put out, Theory of a Dead Man, Seether, you know, all those were early 2000s bands. And and by the time you got into mid-2000s, it was like everything was just heavy, 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 heavy. And not everybody, you know, really gets that. And it's like you're kind of like throwing out a product to, you know, a smaller audience at that point. You know, you're pigeonholing yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And I refuse to do that. I won't do that. I feel like we need to spread it around. We need to have our hits. We need to have our ballads. We need to have our really heavy songs. And we need to keep making sure we're very diversified. So yeah.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You've tried all your different like stylings. How come you haven't done like a Southern rock yet?
Like, are we talking like Lynyrd Skynyrd Southern or?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about a party feel and it being rock, mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. Southern rock, all the way.
Maybe it's because, believe me, my parents and my entire family thinks I should have been a country artist. And I love country music. I love Southern rock. But it's just, for whatever reason, it's not my style. I do have some songs, like Maybe Tonight, which you guys have heard live, which hasn't came out on any album yet. But it has a Southern rock feel to it. But I don't know, maybe with the accent and doing Southern rock, I feel like it's kind of like, I don't know, cliche a little bit. And I always wanted to be rock, you know. I really always wanted to be rock. And I wanted to kind of bring, for me personally, I still remember when I was 18 and I was, you know, really coming into my own within writing songs. But I used to always tell people, like, if they asked me, like, what style do you want to really push? And it was, I want to bring, like, a folksy feel and rock and roll. I want to put them together. And I feel like even like with songs like Dying Day and some of the other songs that I've done, Come On, maybe, I have done that. And I want to keep pushing that. And you know, like even now, like I'm writing several songs that are just like they're tinging on the verge of maybe like a Southern rock. And maybe some people could say that, but it's not true Southern rock. And I don't think I would ever really, you know, I think that's been done. I think Lynyrd Skynyrd kind of took that home.
Yeah, so. But you are, it's not like you're from New York City. You're from Tennessee. You've got the right to bring it back home and call in those country and Southern rock vibes because, you know, hey, even if it's just the tip hit of Southern rock, I think that you would do it well.
And there's really no one doing it.
Yeah. Not these days, no. I mean, you've got your Blackberry Smokes, you've got your Avett Brothers, you've got your, you know, bluegrass folk, you've got your folky Southern, you've got your straight-up Southern rockers, and then you've got your country guys that are doing the Southern rock thing, like Zach Brown, who I love. Now, name one band who really is worth their weight that's actually doing modern-day Southern rock.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anybody right off the top of my head, but...
well, you know what to do for the next EP, then.
At least a song.
You know, the funny thing was, me and Kenny, the lead guitar player, actually sat down yesterday, and we were just playing around, and we came up with a a bluegrass song.
Nice!
That sounds like he brought over his mandolin because I'm in a new band now, Anatomy of the Sacred. I'm playing rhythm guitar.
Kenny's playing lead guitar. Wait. You can't just say that without explaining yourself.
Yeah. So Kenny had actually, a band had hit him up. I think he'd been working with him for quite a while. And Shane Kraut and Brenna Robinson had wanted Kenny to join the band. He was originally the rhythm guitar player. And I think something kind of fell through with another guitarist. So Kenny naturally was like, hey, I know a rhythm guitar player. And I came in, and I've literally only been in the band like a week and a half now. But so he brought over his mandolin, wanting to play one of those songs and see how the mandolin would sound on one of their songs. And we ended up like spending like 5 minutes on that song, and then before you know it, we were playing like a bluegrass song.
Nice.
That sounded like it was like a mixture between like bluegrass, Nirvana, and something else. I don't know what you would call it, but it was like rock meets bluegrass, and it really worked.
So it smells like moonshine.
Yeah, basically. But it was interesting, and I honestly feel like that is something that we could do anything we want, especially me and Kenny. Like we there's just a bond there between me and Kenny. We've been playing together now for 3 years, and anything we sit down and kind of like just like we just make up songs within like 2-3 minutes, and it is a possibility. And I always have said, you know, I would, if I truly went into anything that had something with a Southern vibe, it probably wouldn't be Southern rock. It would probably be something along the lines of bluegrass or something very folksy. Like I love my hymns. I love to, you know, I love the old gritty songs, you know, like stuff like off of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
Oh, and such a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That was, you know, That's the kind of vibe that I would probably go towards, just because I feel like my voice would fit it better than the Southern rock thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything's open, but I really want to make my stand in the rock world first, I think. And then we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, we paid full retail value for your last album, and we will definitely pay full retail value. Well, yes, some of us here at the Prime Podcast paid full retail.
I expect TJ to buy an album.
Yeah, TJ.
Within like the next 24 hours.
And a keychain.
iTunes. I got you guys on iTunes.
No, iTunes.
We're on everything. So, but yeah, but if you really want to pay the artist, buy a physical copy.
Yeah. And yeah. Have it autographed.
The problem is, what am I going to play it on?
You
know?
You rip it to your computer and you.
I know. Play it. All right. I'll get my IT dork friends to do that.
Yeah, like me. All right.
Hint,
so,
hint.
Hint, hint. Yeah, we'll definitely pay for the next EP when it comes out. And nice. And while you're at it, TJ, buy a keychain. We actually had one until it fell.
Huh. Do that?
Because everything falls. and it cracked. But we'd love to get another one. So you've had those keychains for a really long time. And I tell you what, they are really decent quality.
And you are going to get sued for plagiarism, Mr. Duffy.
Who?
You.
What, because I said everything falls?
No, because I'm the one that said we had a keychain until it fell.
Well,
and
yeah,
it
but
broke.
Yeah, all right, well... Fine.
You always take my ideas. Right, you never
well,
give me
this?
Credit for it.
How about this? I love your keychains. We had one for a long time, and they were really great quality.
Until it
they
fell.
They were. The thing was sad
dude,
was Mandy's...
Dude, let Carrie have her time or she's not going to be happy.
I'm fine. Move along. Move along.
Oh, shit. Does it pick up when my head hits the mic or not?
No, it doesn't.
Is that what the thud was?
Oh, I guess it did pick up. All right, now, TJ, we're actually going to let you pick the next song that we play. Now, usually you'd think, Aaron, what song do you want to play? Uh-uh, don't say anything. TJ loves the new album, and so I'll ask him, TJ, what song should we play?
No, I really like Burn off the new album. I'm being serious on that, too. It's a great one. So,
cool.
Nice.
If you have it,
yeah, I can cue it up. Have you released that as a single?
Not yet. No.
Oh, okay.
We're actually still working on the video. It's actually in editing right now,
nice.
And we're hoping within the next month we should be pushing that one out. So,
all right, cool. Well,
absolutely.
Are you cool with us playing Burn?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, I had to ask.
You can play the
somebody
whole
might have their
wall.
Tape deck set up to record it. I don't know.
Now that's old school 90s stuff. That's what I used to do.
Yeah, we have to dub it.
Me too.
We have to wait until it comes on local licks, and then we have to dub it off the stereo.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I used to write the lyrics down by hand, you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. I used to play fake radio DJ. Now I get to do it for Duff.
Yeah, now you get to do it for reals. All right, we're going to play Burn, which is the upcoming single off of Through the Storm, which is Everything Falls' new EP. And you can get that on iTunes and everythingfallsband.com. Let's check it out.
Tongue behind your teeth. Spare me every lie you speak. Every word you say is an ocean. And every illusion made here, it was born of your fear. And one by one, they control. Just another lie you love to sell me. That you're gonna spark and made this.
chance to confront you, a chance to see you speak the truth. I didn't want you slithering away like smoke from a flame. You choked the life out of everything. Cause every little way that time touched on you was just another way I'd always fail you. Every little word that I couldn't say, it made me see. Every little way that time touched on me was just another lie you loved to sell me. It took a spark and made this fire. So red is love. Burn, let the ashes fall to the ground. Let the flames reach the sky. Just let
Burn. Do love me some Burn.
I was telling Duff, like, that's another one that I love, but I have no clue why I like it. You know, and I think that's what we were kind of talking about earlier, is like, you can't categorize it. And it's in a good way, where it's like, I like it, but I don't know why, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's heavy, but at the same time, it's got that fast chorus that's like, just gets stuck in your head, even though you may not know what I'm, you probably don't know what I'm saying. Like, I get, like, everybody that tries, even like the lead guitarist, when he tries to sing along with it, he's just like,
No, but one of the cool things that I like about you guys is you can really tell that it's more like therapy for you writing the songs rather than just being, so, you know, selling out just to get a good beat going or whatever, to just get people to download your song or buy the album or steal the album or whatever it is, you know, like, you know, you can tell that it's really got some feeling and thought behind it. And I think that's why you have that cool diversity there. You know?
Cool. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, every song, you know, I try to put some kind of, even if like the whole song could be a made up song, I still try to put real emotions into it, you know. One way or another, there's a real world feel to it, and there is something that, like, you know, I've experienced at some point in my life, like, it's in the song some way, somehow. And that's kind of always, I always try to, like I said, I love the cinematic style. And when I'm thinking of something, I literally treat it as if I'm an actor or a character in the song. And I think that helps to make things real, you know, when you do that. If you come from it from like this stale point of view where you're just like, you're just saying words that really don't mean anything or have any kind of like,
kind of like substance old Bush to music.
It. Yeah. Like just rhyming to be rhyming. Like, it worked for me. Bush did a wonderful job, you know, whatever strawberry fields are like, I don't really know, but, it worked. You know, or glycerine. I don't really know.
I was just thinking that.
I've never taken glycerine. I couldn't tell you, but it sounded really cool, and it sounded like you meant it heartfelt. You know, it was heartfelt when he was singing it. But
he's got the emotion there, but not the words.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that kind of mixture though. Like I definitely, any song that I write, and I just can't. Like it's something within myself that, like, I will sit and struggle with the lyric until it makes perfect sense and it has the perfect sound to it. You know, I had this conversation with Kenny yesterday. I was like, you know, aurally pleasing sounds, you know, in the words themselves. I will sit and struggle with a word until I get something that fits, and it actually still fits within the storyline and makes sense overall. So,
well, yeah. you can aurally please or orally please us any day of the week, preferably Wednesdays and Fridays, so we can have you on and actually have it be a part of the show.
I would prefer orally, but
well, we'd prefer orally, so we'll have.
Oh, God.
So we are actually going to go on a break. I know you've got to get out of here, so I want to thank you for coming by. Where can we get your wares, your keychains, your CDs, your shirts, your well, I'm sure there's some people out there that want your thongs. So
well, if those ever go on sale, you know, because I have so many, but I'm so fond of them, I don't really let those go very often. But everythingfallsband.com.
Cool.
One more time, for anybody who wasn't listening, everythingfallsband.com. I always have to do this in a show. Like, you got to at least put it in there at least twice, you know, because people, like, the first time, they're just, like, glazed over and, what? I didn't catch that. What did he say? So, but yeah, definitely everythingfallsband.com. We've also got Facebook. Every one of our social sites are kind of interlinked. So if you even go to, like, Facebook, or say you go to Twitter, or whether it's the website, Reverb Nation, it doesn't matter. They all lead to each other. So
I found the website from your Twitter. So
nice. Good. Yeah. Right. Yeah. They all kind of interlink, and they're, I did that on purpose. Yeah. That was very smart marketing right here. You know, genius. But
now,
yeah,
being definitely on our show is the smart marketing for you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Indeed.
There you go. See, that was a smart marketing move that he actually said that.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause otherwise no one would have known.
It's like Inception right now.
It's like we're inside of a dream, listening to Everything Falls.
Yeah, there you go. That was actually the first video. That was the premise for Let It Go. But no, not very many people got that, actually.
I kind of did, actually, but yeah. I wasn't sure. But yeah, no, it makes total sense now that you've confirmed it.
That was definitely the thought process, and it was a really cool video, but I don't think very many people got beyond like just watching it and going, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it was good orally pleasing music.
There you go.
That'll be visually deaf.
So, what was it? Somebody had actually posted on my feed the other day on Facebook, like, all the new music videos, they don't even make sense. And I'm like, what are you comparing this to? Like, if you go back to the 90s, like watch Mr. Jones or so, like, any video you can possibly think of, like, did they really make sense to you? Because if they did, like, you were on some heavy drugs. I'm just saying. So
it's up to viewer interpretation. That's how I look at it.
Exactly. So that's funny. But yeah, man.
Well, thanks again for coming on. We're going to go to a break, and when we get back, we've actually got a really new feature for the show. We've got the Daily Dose Sports Update for your NFL, NBA, all the other sport, even like the European stuff. The last episode of the Daily Dose podcast actually talked about the British Soccer League or the British Football League or whatever the hell it's called. I don't know. I'm not into sports. But if you are, you get some enjoyment right here on the Prime Podcast. Again, Aaron, thanks for coming by, and pick up the new album on iTunes or wherever fine music is distributed. We're going to get to a break, and when we get back, we're going to be doing a little something different. So stay tuned here on Prime.
Hey guys, it's Shane from Now That I'm Older. I hope you're liking everything you're hearing on the Rogan's Hell Podcast Network. If you are, go to rogan'shell.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. It's not going to cost you anything extra. It's not going to look any different. But every time you use that link, you're going to be helping out the Rogan's Hell Podcast Network. So bookmark rogan'shell.com/Amazon every time you need to buy something from Amazon. Thanks a lot.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Hey, it's the 2-minute warning. I'm Clint Daly, host of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday and bring you an insightful, maybe a little bit of a sarcastic look at the world of sports. This week on the show, do you realize that we had one of the biggest sports upsets ever take place this past week? But you might not know it, because here in the United States, this sport isn't quite as big as it is in the rest of the world. We also answer some listener email. We had a listener that asked, why is it that some of the top basketball players in the world can't seem to make their free throws? And you might not realize it, but there is a very real reason why that is. We look at some NBA news. The Los Angeles Lakers have hired a new head coach. And I have to tell you, I kind of have my concerns about who they hired. Yes, I know, Laker fan, you are madly in love with your new coach. But there may be some problems on the horizon for that franchise. And we look at the NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs are now in the second round, and there are a number of intriguing matchups going on every night. We take a look at some of the teams that have the best chance to advance. Do you realize that the NFL draft took place this past week? You know, the NFL is king here in the United States. We would rather watch the NFL pick teams than we would watch playoff games from the NBA or the NHL, and it doesn't matter. You can throw Major League Baseball in there too. NFL is king here in the United States. We saw some real-life drama at the NFL draft. We saw some players move up. We saw some players losing millions of dollars right before our eyes. The NFL draft, it was pretty incredible, and we count down some winners and losers from it. And as we do every single week, we count down our Daily Dose Top 5. This week on the Daily Dose Top 5, you know, sometimes teams move up and they take a punter or a kicker with a high draft pick. Not always the best idea, and we count down the top 5 highest drafted kickers and punters of all time. Check out the Daily Dose, now a member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
And we're back on Prime. Thanks to Clint Daly for the sports update. You can check out his show coming soon on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. We'll definitely let you know when that hits. Now, typically after the break, you'll usually find us getting into the same old shenanigans as we were before the break. Today, however, I want to share a story with you guys. This isn't going to be funny, goofy, or even nerdy, but it's going to be real. And I hope I'm able to give some true value to our audience. I want to tell you a story about my grandfather, Charles Bishop. Grandpa Charlie and I had a lot in common. Hell, I even got my mechanical abilities from him. I can still remember it being 7 years old and ripping apart my only radio in the hopes of figuring out how it worked and preventing it from eating my damn cassettes. Still to this day, I go above and beyond what the sane person would do just to get stuff working again rather than buying new. Now, it wasn't that he was the old guy with the candy in his pocket, because he wasn't. He was direct, to the point, and did not mince words. Something I also got from him. What he lacked, he definitely made up for just by being there and sharing stories with me. He cared enough to educate a young, snot-nosed kid, even when it went against my mom's wishes. He was born in Brooklyn, just before the start of the Great Depression. He enjoyed the simpler things in life. He grew up working for his father in their auto repair shop. Now, as a part of the Greatest Generation, he was inducted into the Army at 19 years old. He was actually a cannoneer in the 35th Infantry and was one of the great men that landed on Omaha Beach in Normandy. He fought with honor in the Battle of the Bulge and Ardennes. He was wounded 3 times, twice in one day actually, and received the Purple Heart before being honorably discharged. After the war was through with him, he returned home to raise a family and take over his father's shop. Bishop Auto Repairs became a home for my mom and my uncle, and even the long and hard hours didn't prevent Grandpa from volunteering with the Smithtown Fire Department, the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and even the Power Squadron. In 1977, he retired from his many decades as an auto mechanic and took to the road with his second wife and soulmate to live the life of leisure. He always made sure to visit his family and help his neighbors, though, because, you know, that's just the kind of guy he was. He was also haunted with Alzheimer's and PTSD. Still stuffed with shrapnel, he would often wake up at O Dark Hundred and believe he was really back on the battlefield. My grandma Shirley took the best care of him, though, and gave him everything he needed, including the freedom to burn food and drive his golf cart like a crazy lunatic. She really was the best thing that ever happened to the man. Last Friday, I received a call. You know, the one that kind of takes you away from whatever's happening in your life and just makes you simply freeze up. Just short of his 92nd birthday, Grandpa died peacefully in his sleep after a busy day playing pool and relaxing in the hot tub. No more nightmares, no more pain. His battles have been fought, and he can finally claim victory from the personal hell he's been suffering through for the last 70-plus years. Now, if you're a long-time listener of the show, you're probably wondering why I'd steer the show into such a dark turn. I'll tell you why, and I'll read a quote from my mother. She said, "If your folks are still alive, call them. Do not wait. Tell them you love them. If they are near, hug them. Hold them close. Don't miss the opportunity to connect with them. Because you'll always think your parents will be there. There is always time to drive down for a visit. Well, guess what? It's not always an option. Book that flight, gas up the car. Don't put off that visit. I love you, Grandpa. You will always live on in my heart." Thank you guys for letting me take you guys into that direction. I know it's not something we usually do, but the man meant the world to me. And he also meant the world to so many others. And I wanted to step back a little bit and spend the last couple of minutes of the show tonight to talk about just what a goofy, awesome guy he was. And so I've invited Mama B from the chat room, my mom, and one of my closest friends onto the show tonight to talk about Grandpa. Mom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, baby boy. I wanted to say what a wonderful job you did with the tribute for your grandfather.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, he meant a lot to me, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on. I was such a small child when he was around. Actually, no, I think he actually left New York before I was born.
Yeah, he left in 1977.
Okay. So, yeah, I never really had a chance to know him as the mechanic. I knew him, hell, even after he retired and moved to Florida, he was still working in the school system just to make extra money. So, you know, he was always a working man. He was always a good man, but I never got the chance to actually know him. What was it like growing up in an auto garage?
It was awesome. I was a born and raised grease monkey, and I had so much fun going in there. I used to be his brake assistant.
Oh, when no he kidding.
Yep. Anytime he had to bleed brakes on a car, I would sit in the car up on the lift, and I would hit the brakes until he yelled at me to stop.
How awesome is that? I have always wanted to be a mechanic. When I was growing up, I mean, what did I say I wanted to do?
You wanted to be a mechanic.
Exactly.
And you are. You are a fourth-generation mechanic, young man.
Oh.
And yes, you are.
It all stems from great-grandpa Benjamin, but
I've got so much in common with Grandpa, and I cherish the fact that I have a brain on my head that can think logically, because it is such a learned skill that many people will never have. And that's not to say they're stupid, because I'm not saying that. I am so stupid when it comes to most other things, but mechanics and engineering is the one thing that I can actually do.
Yep. Just because you have a PhD doesn't mean you can figure out how to turn the light on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rather pathetic what PhDs can't do these days. So what was one of your most fondest memories of working in the garage and just hanging out with the old man?
Not so much in the garage, but early on, he had bad teeth. And early on, he decided that he wanted to have them pulled and have dentures put in. This way, he wouldn't have to deal with it one tooth at a time.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this one.
Uh-huh. So we would sit down to dinner, and he would call me. He would say, Lissy, look. I said, no. Lissy, look, and I'd look, and he'd blow his teeth out right in the middle of dinner. No, Dad.
God.
He would do that to me all the time. And he would love to just come up to me and stick out his pinky, and it says, pull my finger.
See, this is the side of Grandpa I never got a chance to know.
He was a prankster. He used to, in his kitchen, in his house with Grandma Shirley, he's got this little shelf above a counter with coffee cups on it. And there was one coffee cup that I always used when I went to visit him. So now, you know, they're in Florida. They have a lot of palmetto bugs.
Oh, God.
Call them whatever you want. They're frickin' cockroaches.
Yeah.
And they're the size of VWs. He had one in the coffee cup. My coffee cup. And I didn't know it was in there until I reached for it.
Did you pour the coffee, or did you see it beforehand?
I felt something shimmy in the bottom of the cup.
No! And I bet you he was just chuckling.
He thought that was the funniest thing. I thought he was going to fall on the floor. But that was your grandfather. He was a prankster, and he had such a fantastic belly laugh.
Yeah.
And even a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to him, he would say, you know, I'm so tired. I hurt. I just want to go to sleep. I said, Dad, do you still have fun every day? Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he plays pool, he plays pinochle, yeah. He plays... That man was shuffleboard king.
He was the king of shuffleboard down there. He won so many tournaments. They couldn't go to a tournament without him, because he was that good. He was very skilled. And I knew that I got my abilities for pool and shuffleboard from him, because give me a couple of games to get back in the swing of things, and I was just as good as he was.
Yeah.
But he always had a good laugh. He loved to read the comics every morning, and he would sit there and just bust a gut laughing. And I would tell him, well, you're laughing, you're having a good time, you still have fun, you still love Grandma, so what's the problem?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Grandma for a little bit. She and I were talking the other day, and she was saying that a couple of weeks ago. Now, again, I said this I said this earlier, but Grandma let him have his freedom no matter what the cost, until the community they lived in threatened, like, to just straight up yank him out of the car because he was driving like a maniac. He had his license. He had his license up until about, what, 3 years ago?
He had it up until, I think, he was 90.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's about a year and a half ago.
He was scary.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I drive like a bat out of hell. Oh, I used to anyway. Now I'm getting to be an old man. But he drove like a bat out of hell. He would frighten me.
Well, he wasn't so much as fast as...
reckless.
Yes. I mean, he'd go on a red light, he'd pull out in front of people, and he wouldn't see what the big deal was. And meanwhile, you know, I'm holding my butt cheeks together real tight so I don't have an accident.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I just saw my life flash before my eyes. Yeah. Thankfully, though, you know, that took a lot of wind out of his sail, because that meant no more independence.
Yeah, it really did.
You know, he was restricted to the golf course and terrorizing the little old people on the roads down there.
But talk about that golf court. He drove that thing like it was a NASCAR racer.
Yes, he did. If he cornered and you weren't holding on to something, you were not going to stay off. Yep. Yeah,
I mean, you drive around on the mountain in North Carolina, where we have our family farm. You drive around in Lansing on your Gator, like Grandpa did, and I see a lot of that coming from him, just ingrained right into you.
Yes, but I'm not doing it recklessly.
No, that and you tell me before I even get into it. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
But the other, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago. Grandma said that. She was in the bedroom doing some genealogy, and he had just come in from some kind of activity or game or whatever, and he wanted to make himself something, and he had some Denny's leftovers. So he puts it into the toaster oven, and he starts making it. Well, sure as anything, a couple minutes later, Grandma smells burning plastic. She runs out to the kitchen, sees smoke coming from the toaster oven. Sure as anything, the man put a plastic plate into the toaster oven with his leftovers.
He thought it was the microwave.
Yeah. And that just goes to show you that, you know, the dementia really had kicked in at that time. And he just wasn't thinking. But even then, Grandma still gave him every bit of freedom that she could. And for that, I am eternally grateful, because he truly, I mean, you know, you look at Gummy, your mom, my grandma, she died, over a decade ago. And she spent the last 15 years of her life in misery, not doing a thing in a nursing home.
She gave up.
Yeah, she gave up after she had her second stroke.
She was a very difficult woman to deal with, and I understand this now, looking back. She was an alcoholic, and she wanted the world served to her on a silver platter. And unfortunately, when she had stroke, that became her excuse.
Yeah.
And I always tell the tale of back in the early 80s, there was no such thing as a remote. So I would set her up in the living room, turn on the TV, change the channel to what she wanted, leave the room for 10 minutes, come back, it would be on a different channel.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were issues at night where she couldn't help herself.
Yeah, I still remember that. But you look at the way Grandma went out. She withered away. And
yes.
then you look at Grandpa. And yep. Like up until the day he passed, he was playing pool in the hot tub, enjoying life and helping his neighbors and loving his wife.
Yep. And, you know, Shirley and I, your grandmother and I, didn't have it easy in the beginning, because, you know, she was the mistress.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I unfortunately was too young to understand the meaning of soulmate. But, you know, she tried to push her way in and step on my mother, and that ticked me off.
Yeah.
But now I realize that Grandpa and Grandma Shirley were soulmates, and she loved him like no other on the planet.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Grandma Shirley, your grandfather would have died 40 or 50 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't doubt it for a minute.
She went above and beyond to care for him, to love him, to keep him healthy. She had a massive old style computer manual, the big, huge 3-ring binder that was several hundred pages thick. All of his medical history, indexed, color coded, tabs, table of contents, you name it. She would take it to the doctors, to the pharmacy, to the ER, and, you know, she would not allow any doctor to do anything or give him any medication until she confirmed it in her book. So she has my love and my heart for the rest of my life because she gave me my father.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have known the man had it not been for her. I grew up in the 80s. I had no inkling that, you know, there was a mistress. I grew up and Gummy lived in the house with us for a little bit. And, you know, even before that, we used to go visit her when she worked in the nursing home. How ironic. And, you know, and of course, Grandpa and Shirley, Grandma Shirley, were in Florida by that point. So it's like I grew up with Grandma living with us. But, you know, even though there was bad blood and everything else, Grandma Shirley and Grandpa were up in Long Island at least once a year. And my earliest memories are of Gummy and me feeding the seagulls at Port Jefferson Harbor. And, you know, and soon thereafter, I remember, you know, Grandpa and Grandma and Chuck, all, you know, and Uncle Chuck was drinking beers and we were in St. James. I mean, I remember that stuff growing up. And it's like every single time I have a memory with Grandma and Grandpa, it was always good. It wasn't the memories that I have with other family members where it was more bad than good or about 50-50, or it was always torn. Grandma and Grandpa were always positives in my eyes.
Yes. Yep.
And
they always tried to do things positive for you. You know, and try and make the best experience. Yeah. They were the ones that were always wanting to take you to Disney World.
I mean, I've only been to Disney World once in my life, and it was with them.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I a lot of my childhood goes out to them, and, you know, so I thank them for it. Something else I want to thank Grandpa for is his tool collection.
Oh,
you were there. Why don't you tell the story of when he finally decided to give up his tool collection because he knew he would never go back to being a mechanic?
Well, in Florida, they had a very tiny shed off of their house, and it was overflowing with old tools from him. And he had one of those big, giant red Sears.
The Craftsman. Love it.
Yeah, so he had that, and it was overflowing with tools, and he said, I'm never going to use them again, and should I give them to the gardener? And Shirley knew better, and Shirley said, no, I think I know somebody else that's going to want them.
Yeah.
And he couldn't believe that I wanted these tools, and I told him, I said, why would you think I wouldn't want them? They're yours. And he said, but you could sell them and make money on them. I said, I can't sell these. I said, Dad, I still have your Army issue World War II can opener, and I am never without it. I've always got it. And he laughed, and I said, it's yours, Dad. It's part of you. Your tools are part of you. Your hands were on them.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't get rid of those.
No.
And
you brought the whole Craftsman thing back to your home in Long Island. And when you told me that you know, there was a huge portion of them that you wanted to give to me, I was so honored because, you know, here I am. You know, I've worked for GE as an engineer, as a mechanic, as a technician. I'm doing IT full time now, and I still do all my own car work. I still fix. I was working on my ice maker today because, you know, it hadn't been working for the last couple of weeks. I've gone up to your house and worked on your refrigerator. I've helped you work on your dryer from the phone. You know, it's such a part of who I am that when you offered me a large chunk of Grandpa's tools, I was just so honored. And you know what? Every time I go out and work on the car, those are always the first tools that I pick up and grab. Even if I don't think I'll use them, I always have them right there for the breaker bars, for the ratchets. I mean, you've got some classic tools there.
And I have very old-fashioned oil filter wrench.
Oh, wow.
And I have so many old tools that he used in the shop, or that he used in the 40 years after the shop. And it just, it makes my heart happy when I hold them.
Yeah.
It makes me feel close to him. And I can see his smile. I can see the mischievous glint in his eye. And he's with me. And I can't part with those tools ever.
No.
And
I hope you part with them someday, because I'd like to grow my collection.
Well, they're going to be going down to the farm with me, and they'll be in the workshop.
So I'll get to use them. Yay.
Yes, you will. They will go down the line forever.
I mean, that's what, 37 years worth of tools?
We don't have any of the really vintage tools. I was going through a photo album, and I found some pictures from when the gas station was knocked down. And this happened in July or August of 1977. And I heard that it was being knocked down. And I ran over there in my car. And I stood in the parking lot across the street. And I watched the bulldozers knock down the gas station with my house on top of it.
Mm.
And I fell to my knees. And I blacked out. My house, my home, the gas station was gone. We knew what was happening, obviously, because we were pulling everything out of it. But like the week before, your grandfather had some massive, huge wrenches that were almost as tall as his leg.
Oh, wow.
And they were used for like tractor wheels. And stuff like that, you know, these big, huge
like the
wrenches.
Hub nuts, yeah.
Yeah, and he was standing out in front of the gas station office with these wrenches. And I have a couple of pictures of it. I also have pictures of the house as it was being knocked down. And I tell you, that the bulldozer went around to the back of the house where the stairs started. In the driveway, and he had to work on that corner for a good long while. It just did not want to go.
Stubborn, just like Grandpa.
But when the house finally went, there was an old couch in the house and a living room. And all of a sudden, it was a good thing we had traffic blocked off, but all of a sudden, this couch came flying out of the house and went right across the street.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, but your grandfather was an American hero, and he was my hero.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you were able to know him in your life. And I hope you never forget the sacrifice he gave for this country.
Never.
And for you and me. And never forget his eyes. His eyes were so special.
Yeah.
On a happier note, I do have to tell you.
What's that?
As I got older, I realized I'm nothing like Gummy. I'm exactly like my father. I may look like Grandma, but I am my father.
Yeah.
When I open my mouth, my father comes out.
Yeah, I've been dealing with that still to this day. Like, my boss was telling me today, he was actually in town, and he was like, you need to learn to communicate better. You need to learn to not say so much.
Yes.
Because
or say it so bluntly.
Yeah, yeah, because anyone who listens to the show knows that I just have little to no filter. And I used to have a pretty good filter. I don't know. With age, it's just like, fuck it, whatever.
I know. It's the same thing. You know, I mean, something pisses me off at work. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And still to this day, when you say, oh, Jesus, you sound just like Grandpa.
See, and every time I try to stand up or sit down, I hear my father groan.
Yeah.
And when I try and walk, I'm stiff, just like my father. Walking with my knees bent, trying to get my balance. And do you know that I sat next to your grandfather in his living room a couple of years ago, and we were both in our bare feet, and we were both looking at each other's feet. We have each other's feet.
That's
crazy.
They are
identical. We have the same calluses on the same spots.
Mm.
We also have the same mole on our right shoulder blade.
I actually used to have it. I actually cut mine off.
Yeah, I got mine.
Yeah.
I had mine cut off too. He never got rid of it.
Wow.
But, I hope I have his belly laugh because he had a wonderful laugh.
Oh, you do. You do. When I get you going, you do. You've got his laugh.
Yeah. So he was really something special, and just carry him in your heart always.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
Talk to him. You know, I had a friend at work today tell me that don't be afraid to talk to him because he's listening. And if you communicate with him, he will be your guardian angel.
Yeah, well, he's definitely going to be in my heart and in my mind for the rest of my life.
I'm not Christian. Grandpa was. I'm Buddhist, and I believe in reincarnation, and I believe in the soul moving on. And I believe that Grandpa is still with us. And if we talk to him, he will answer.
Yeah. Well, Mom, I want to thank you more than I can verbalize for coming on the show. I know how emotional this is for both of us. And that's why I chose to pre-record the earlier piece I did. I just didn't think I could get it out live on the air. You know, it took a lot for me to just write the script for it and record it, just because I want it to be on point, and I didn't want to lose my stuff, because, you know, I love the man, and it's a very sad time for us both right now, and knowing that I've got my family, you know, Carrie, you, it just means the world to me, and you know, you've always got us as well, and you know, we want to continue to make you produce those belly laughs when you listen to the Prime Show, which you do almost every time we do an episode. So again, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
I thank you, PJ. You did a spectacular job with his tribute, and you do such a wonderful job as producer and host, and you're just a magician when it comes to this stuff. Don't ever give it up. It's what you love.
Yeah, I think it's really what I was meant to do. I mean, I was always meant to be a mechanic and an engineer, and that's always going to be. I mean, there's a reason they call it a sound engineer. I'm always going to have that as a huge part of my existence, of my being, my makeup, and yeah, it's just something I love. Just like Grandpa was someone we loved. So on that note, I want to thank everyone for letting us take you down memory alley, so to speak, and we'll end it on a high note. I love you, Grandpa, and you know, you meant the world to me.
I love you, Daddy.
Stay tuned for another fine episode of Prime Up on Friday. You guys have a great night.
Bye.